Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Diva of Days of Our Lives. We're back this week. We were off last week, so we have 2 weeks of the show to discuss. Be sure to check out our blog on Diva of Days of Our Lives on our blog. And also we're on Facebook at Diva of Days of Our Lives. We're also on Twitter at Diva of Dole. And we're also on iTunes. And I think my co-host made it. I think she's here. Hi,
hello.
Anna.
Hi.
And she's at Causey Hooch, and I'm at Mama_Hooch. And you can also follow at Bob Hapka and at Amy Hapka. I know Bob just recently had, I think he had surgery on his eyes to see better. I don't think it was cataracts. I'm thinking it was maybe to correct his nearsightedness. I just kind of caught it on Facebook. So he's kind of recovering from that. So we wish him well on that.
Send him best wishes.
Yeah. And be sure to follow at Lauren Coslow and at Teo Penglis. And Teo is safely back in the United States, back in California.
Woo-hoo.
He just recently came back from his trip to Egypt and Greece. Had not a problem.
The Hoochies did not have to.
I had even mentioned
go save. We didn't have to. We didn't have to go save him.
No women warriors had to go save him. No, I mentioned to him that I think he was safer there than he was here, back in his own country, and he kind of more or less agreed, which is true. So it's like, you know, it can happen anywhere, but he had a wonderful time, and he's back here, and back filming. He had a lot of shows last week.
I know I need to catch up on his tweets because I saw some really neat tweets. So if anybody's interested in seeing some of his journey in Egypt and Greece this time, you can go back on his Twitter feed at Teo Penglis, and he had some great stuff. I just haven't gone back and gotten to see all of it yet, but I definitely recommend it because he's a wonderful storyteller. He has wonderful insights and such a passion for life and everything and zest for life. And, you know, certainly has been to both places many times, of course, but it's always a new adventure with Teo. So I encourage anybody to check that out. I don't know. Did he have it on Facebook too?
Everything on Facebook. He did Twitter and Facebook almost every day of his trip, and he would show pictures and he would explain where he was at and give the history of it and the knowledge that he has of it, and really some really fascinating places in Egypt. He's been he was at the Parthenon, of course, and the Acropolis and the Acropolis Museum, and he was in Santorini, which is a beautiful island.
I used to dream of going there. Oh my gosh. Oh.
Yes.
Very cool.
So it was a really nice trip.
He said
for
he's
him,
back
so,
to
and it was
he,
nice to follow
he,
along.
He was back to work this week then, right?
Yes, he's back. Oh, he was back to work this week. I think he had a lot of, you know, I think they were all busy this week on the show.
Catching up. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they're catching up. Yeah, they're still filming pretty much far ahead. But yeah, so, and he had a really good write-up in Soap Opera Digest for the section that they give him a thumbs up, and they gave Andre a thumbs up. And
awesome.
I thought that it was, it's more or less saying how great it was, how great it is for him to be back, and to have you know, him back. And it said that the one quote that the guy kind of stuck out to me, which is, I think, sums it all up. He said that Teo is the master at nuance, the double entendre, and tempering Andre's lethal nature with a sly sense of humor.
Which is, that was perfect. He nailed it.
That's perfect because he does do that. Yes, he mm-hmm. nails how he's doing Andre and everything because he makes him rootable. He makes Andre a rootable
right.
villain with a sense of humor mm-hmm. and wants to say what he says to other characters, what he says to the characters to like Rafe and Aiden
mm-hmm.
is all what we're thinking, you know, and he just comes right out and says it. And, of course, the double entendre, he's perfect at that, his timing and,
oh, yes.
and everything.
Absolutely. Oh, that was a great assessment, the way that writer put it.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was a really good show.
Which issue is that in? Is it this week?
That's just in Friday.
Right,
yeah, it's out right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Great. I'll have to look for that.
I think I'm just going to, Angela's here, so maybe I bring her on.
Oh, great. Sure.
Okay. Yeah, if you can. I don't know who all's watched what. I mean, I tried to get some notes up. Hi, Angela.
Hey, how are you, girls?
Hey, Angela.
Good.
Glad you could make it.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm doing fine. I'm tired. I think I'm getting used to Central Time.
Yeah.
And being able to correlate that everyone else is not on the same time zone.
Yes.
I am. Yes.
Yeah.
Doing
oh, yeah. Well,
Anna's
on the central time zone, too, right?
I'm on central.
So
And it's always tricky for me because I have family in Arizona and Hawaii, and they're among other states. And they're the two
mm-hmm.
states that don't ever change for, you know, daylight savings. So I always have to look at my iPhone world clock to figure out if I'm 2 hours or 1 hour different because I can never remember. Because, I mean, I grew up in Arizona, so still gives me enough excuse to say I just don't do daylight savings time because I didn't grow up that way. Even though I've certainly been living outside of Arizona longer than I lived in it. So, you know, so it's always an adjustment. I know Rose, our beloved Rose, we lost her to Pacific Coast time or Pacific whatever because, you know, she moved out to Washington State. And it was, like, so early for her to be able to do the show. I mean, her kids were doing stuff and everything. And it's just, it even if it's an hour change, it is definitely an adjustment.
I've lived in Eastern Standard Time my entire life. So, you know, if I say something to Marianne,
me too.
I'm sure I'll be there at 10.
Me too.
It's dawned on me that it's 9 o'clock on my clock, but it really is 10 o'clock. So, anyway. But I heard you talking about Teo a minute ago.
Mm-hmm.
His photo from Santorini was to die for. I wanted to go so badly. That was Miss
Beauty's
photo.
It is beautiful there, the beaches. And then it's so pretty and so quaint because they have those white, like against the cliffs. And the houses
mm-hmm.
are all like the white. And it's just so, it's just like out of a storybook. I mean,
I got into Teo, when I learned about Teo in the early 80s, you know,
hospital
and then. Yeah,
uh-huh.
very few women don't get it. No, but when I started my 30 something year crush off with Teo, but anyway, he just inspired me on all the Greek stuff and everything. And I've told him this before, but like I've, you know, got interested in Greek history and culture and all that stuff. But one of the things
mm-hmm.
that, you know, I had when I was a teenager was I had a poster on my wall of Santorini, you know, this with the blue water and the white, you know, and it's just, So for a long, long time, that was like, I have gotten to travel other places in Europe, but I've never been able to make it to Greece yet. But that's
mm-hmm.
just, and so I've been looking forward to going back and looking at all of his stuff. I just haven't had a chance to yet, but I would see the little notifications and I'd be like, oh, he's doing something else. Oh, that's awesome. You know? So,
yeah. And
of course, go ahead.
Yeah. Not just the island is beautiful. You should see some of the pictures of him in those pictures.
Oh,
he
yes. Well, you sent me a few, you did send me a few choice ones. I must say.
There is one. There is one that he looks absolutely adorable, and there's a word I could say. But,
it starts with a
PH? Anyway.
PHU something?
It starts with a P, yes. Yes. I'll just say it. Talkable. Okay, there you go. Okay, I said it. Everybody knows
but
that.
But with a PH.
Yeah.
P-H-U-C-K.
With a PH, yeah. You know, love when we got banned, you know, on the Sony board. But I told him how youthful. He just looked so youthful and fit, and I think that trip did him a world, you know, a world of good. So.
Yes, sounds like it.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Well, it just looks like a great trip. He was back in time for those 13,000, the celebration for the 13,000th episode, right? Because that was Monday or Tuesday, right?
Yeah, that was
Tuesday,
I think. Yeah, there was they had a real big group picture, did you see? And then, and I guess the big news is out now that Leanne's back, Leanne Hunley.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I saw the picture with that she was standing with John Aniston and Suzanne Rogers, and she looked lovely. I'm just so excited. I am counting on that. This means Tony's coming back. I'm counting on it.
I don't know.
It's either that, or she's going to bring.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Or if it's not that, or in combination thereof. I'm concerned that the baby that she may come back with the story about, you know, Dr. Baker and Nicole's baby.
That could be cool.
And, well, it would be cool. I think. I mean, I want Nicole to have a baby. I'm happy with
Nicole
that. I have to admit that big picture. And again, you know, I'm not a Dina Higley fan. We all know that.
Really? Angela, wait. That sounds newsworthy. What did you just say?
I know. It's news breaking. But the one thing I did not like about that picture is Dina was holding Nicole's hand, or Dina was holding Aerie's hand versus. And again, I know that Dina, if the one thing she did well was she wrote for Nicole, which no one has written for Nicole for 2 years, which is a crying shame because Arianne Zucker is one of the best actresses Days have.
But sometimes she can write too much for Nicole.
Well,
you
know, and again,
this is what happens. The new writers come back and then they change things from where you think it's going. That's the only thing that I don't like.
I know.
And they're so far ahead. They're just so far ahead. It's like, what you're watching now might not happen. I mean, not necessarily where it's going to go. You know, that's just the only thing when the writers keep changing.
I mean, they're filming
my dream.
Late January of 2017. I mean, it's like,
right.
What
they
can
said,
we
cause
expect?
That's when Leanne will probably be on, and she just started, you know, this week. So yeah, so we have to wait till like January to see, and then Charles Shaughnessy and Patsy Peace. You know, I said they're going to be coming. And then there's going to be other ones. There's other ones coming too. They just haven't been announced.
Yeah.
But there's going to be other ones coming back too. So
which is always fun
to see other ones coming back.
I'm hopeful.
But my dream would be
to
see Kate and Andre and Tony and Anna go up against each other. I think
that would be a double date.
Although I know it would probably wipe KO out, but I mean, it's all the work. But you know what? Hey, so what? You know, he can handle
You mean there isn't really two different people playing those roles?
No, but it seems like it sometimes, doesn't it?
I know, it really does. That's the thing.
Yes, and if this man does not...
You think of him.
Yeah. And if this man does not get an Emmy nomination, work that he's been doing this past year, there's just something wrong with the whole system.
Yes.
Yeah. If not the win, at least, you know, I want both, but he has to be
nominated
first, so... Yeah, he needs to be nominated.
I think they need to be nominated. I honestly think that the whole system is crooked and it doesn't. It makes no difference.
It's obvious
who actually
over the
does
years.
The best job.
Well, yeah, because Cosley.
But I think the nominations could make a difference.
Now,
how about Lauren? She never gets nominated.
I know Lauren is amazing.
Yes,
and
someone else. Well, you know, Mary Beth Evans, who won last year, and again, I think Mary Beth has.
I know.
I'm a big fan of Mary Beth, and I think she did a great job this year. Last year, she didn't. She was a.
But Emmy.
That was not such a great. That was not. You know, she didn't have the work that she's had this year. And she won. But what I did not realize until I was reading through something, that literally she had never been pre-nominated before, nor had she ever been nominated before on any of the shows.
Well, how about Ari's?
After World
how about
Cup,
Ari's?
General
sister.
Hospital, Dave.
Well,
yeah,
Ari's at least been nominated.
I mean, has she ever been nominated? Yeah.
She's been nominated.
She should
nominated.
Win, though, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's very good, too.
She was,
so I don't
she was nominated during the baby snatch. I mean, she had tremendous material. And, you know, regardless of who wrote the material, I still think Chris Whitesell wrote a bunch of that material personally. But that's just me, and I don't have any proof of that. And that's just my own imagination. But anyway, I do think that, you know, I think she will get some good story, and she won't be in the park throwing a plastic ball up in the air with Dr. Dan.
Oh, geez.
So I'm happy.
Yeah.
I cannot believe that they paid anyone on contract to play that. And again, I'm happy for her because again, I think she's fabulous. So that's good news. But who knows? But I think it was interesting too that they have not gotten rid of Andre Scar. And I have the feeling if they don't get rid of it, that's going to make it tremendously easier to distinguish he and Tony.
Somebody else tweeted that. Is the reason his scar still there so we'll be able to tell who's Tony and who's, you know, meaning bringing the question of will Tony be back? So I don't know.
I gave him some money to get it fixed. So then I was thinking we'd see like an automatic change. Like
I guess he hasn't
overnight,
gone around
to it,
but he's been a busy man. He's been trying to blow
he
up race.
He's been very
and
busy.
And
he's
snatch
been very busy.
Abigail and deceive Chad and drive Aiden crazy and set up Aiden for. He's been a busy, naughty boy.
That's very
boy.
True. He's been very busy.
Yes. And I guess, Anna, maybe we can start with the latest and go backwards with Friday's show
with
I guess, and Kate with Prevalent and Andre.
Yes.
So if
you want to talk
about that, maybe it'd be easier
really
to do that.
Start with that. That would be great. First of all, we can all agree that Kayla's awesome. I mean, that's pretty much a given. I would take Lowell here, but I'm pretty sure we'd all agree to that. But she looked great. Her hair was up. It was super cute. And her outfit was gorgeous. And so was she. And so basically, at the beginning of the episode Friday, she was walking down the stairs, taking the last of her things out of the house. And basically, Damus was being a jerk. And, you know, they traded barbs. But basically, what came out of that was, he was kind of, I don't know if he was threatening her, but it was basically like, she's like, what? You've already given away all your leverage. You already told the police that that it was an accident. And
we're
getting an annulment from our wedding.
Why he did that.
So,
you know,
our marriage,
what did he have
our
on
fake
her?
Marriage. So she says, seems to me like you don't have any leverage. So, of course, that makes us think. So she said, I think she said something like, did she ask him, like, you must have something? I don't know. But anyway. She's acting like...
Yeah, like I can't figure out why he's letting her go. Like, he doesn't have leverage unless he does, and we don't know.
Like he must have something. There must be
something
up his sleeve. And then, it was cute. She went over to her... Now, is she staying... Is that room she's in, where is that at? Is that the...
What's that?
Where is she staying? Is that the Martin House, or where is that place that she's staying?
She's either staying at the Martin House or the Salem Inn. I think that's where – is an Andre at the Salem Inn? Is that where he's staying?
Well, I was trying to figure out where she was at. I couldn't remember because sometimes they use the Martin House for a hotel room. So I don't know. But anyway,
some of people stay there.
She was in her room. Yeah, she was in whatever room because I've missed some episodes, so I didn't know where she moved to. But anyway – mm-hmm. She was in her room, and it was neat because she was showing some vulnerability, and she got emotional and threw some things, threw a pillow, threw some other things.
Yeah,
because she was thinking about Damos and everything, and I think she was thinking about her life. I'm like, why can't I figure this man thing out? What's the deal? What is the deal with my relationship? And, you know, I love that she showed that vulnerability. The only thing is, it's like nothing against her, but like, the fact that it was over Damos, because I think he's a dick. But anyway, she got very emotional, and then later on you see
Marlena meeting her at the pub for lunch or whatever,
yes,
for breakfast or something.
I enjoyed that.
And
did you? I thought
loved
that was really
those
neat.
Scenes.
Oh yeah.
My gosh, I loved those scenes.
Yeah.
And you know that, you know, Lauren and Deidre, I mean, they've gotten closer over the years, and it was really cute because I think they really enjoyed those scenes. And it was just such cute, like, banter. It was like, you know, she was kind of like, I mean, Kate was kind of humble. Kate kind of took the wall down for a little bit. And she was kind of like, you know, basically,
like, give
I need
it to
your
me.
Advice.
She wanted Marlena to,
I need your
to be honest with her.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and Marlene was like, as a friend or as a therapist, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, and so, you know, she was basically like, why do I keep screwing these things up? And why, you know, why?
With men.
And, with men. And Marlena was like, well, you know, I think she said something about, well, for one thing, and the way she looked, she said,
oh, that was
or
funny,
at one
yeah.
point in the thing, she said, for one thing, you tend to get involved with criminals, you know,
criminals.
Something like that. And she goes, I like, she's like, powerful men. I like powerful men or something like that. But
oh, I like powerful
that,
men,
that,
yes.
That Marlena said was that she says, well, you know, I think somewhere in your history, in your life, you know, something, you began to believe that you did not deserve to have a healthy relationship and a good relationship. And so they kind of had, you know, some back and forth. I was surprised they didn't bring up Roman. But anyway.
But I was going to say, wasn't
or
all
John,
criminals
or,
because
or John,
Roman,
was,
Roman
was
or
was
John.
They weren't criminals because John and Roman weren't, but those are the two Marlena
had. She had some good guys. She had the hero
she
guys.
Did,
she had the bad
did.
Guys.
Well,
more bad
Rafe,
guys than good.
Rafe is kind of a criminal, Rafe? But he's
okay,
getting away with it because he's a cop.
Keep adding those
he's
them
a cop.
Up. We just
yeah.
keep adding them up.
Yeah.
He's a cop.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, there's yeah. So, you know, but it's like, so it's kind
of
like, you know, so they just kind of had a nice, it was a really honest,
like a
they
girl
had a really
bonding.
Honest moment.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because you don't see those two together in scenes very often. And they used to be adversaries on screen. You know what I mean? Marlena and Kate didn't really get along so at one time. So, but, yeah, it was nice to see them, you know, get along like that and are now friends like that. That's how that was nice.
Well, and she even mentioned something about her children, too, that she's like.
About Sam.
She brought up Sammy. And so she says, you know, her other relationships and stuff, too. And then, and she said, and so Kate had said something about, I like complicated men. They're attractive. and so I just loved how they were, delving into Kate's past, you know, into her history. We need to know more of that. I mean, if they're going to do these standalone episodes, they need to do one on Kate because she involves
and
everybody
need,
in film.
Yes.
And she's kind of fascinating.
And they need to do one on Andre, too.
History. Oh, yes.
If they can do one on Rafe, they can do one on Andre and Kate. Excuse
yeah.
me.
And
yeah.
And then Marlena basically
Rafe wasn't standalone, though.
Marlena basically told her that she didn't have to live like that, but she didn't have to live like
right.
that. And basically she could, you know, make some changes or something and, you know, whatever. But then Marlena had to go. But she was very courteous. It wasn't like she was being a bitch or anything like in the past. She was like, oh, I've got another appointment. I've got an appointment that I had scheduled before you called me to
yeah,
meet you.
They were
so
very cordial to each other, you know.
Oh, very, very. I really loved it.
Yeah.
Loved it. And then, and then who do you know that walks up right after Marlena leaves is very, very mischievous Andre in another nice suit.
Yes. In a suit.
Yes. And he was like, oh, and they had made Marlena and she had made a joke when she said early on, Kate said, I'll pay the bill, you know, kind of thing, you know, like, so, you know, for her services kind of thing, you know. And then when Marlena went to leave, she goes, I've got the check or something like that. And then she was kind of, you know, kind of a little joke. And so then when Andre shows up, he's apparently sized all this up. And he says, why pay her when I can give you better advice for free?
Free, yes. Yes. Oh yeah. He had some.
Kate snaps back that she didn't want his advice. And then and then he says something about how people don't want to change. And then what I loved, and I made some notes on this. I love the way he said, "You're perfect the way you are." The world needs the Kates and the Andres.
Andres of the world.
Of the world. Andre of the world.
Yeah.
And then
we need the Kate
like,
and Andres of the world.
Yeah.
Love
and
that.
He said, and he said something like, "How you know? How can you put us in the same category or something like that?" Put it. He said something, but they kind of were commiserating at that point about feeling the judgment of other people. And Kate's like, "Well, I don't give a crap what other people think, you know." But she does.
Right.
You know, it does affect her.
Mm-hmm.
And he said something like, "I'm tired of the little insects that ruin my picnic."
Picnic.
Ruin my picnic.
I know.
Yeah.
Like he wants to squash all the insects that ruin his picnic.
Yes. She says, you know, there's a spray. She goes, yeah, there's a spray for that. And then he says, "Look, I know Deimos has kicked you to the curb." And she says, she tells him to go away. He asks her if she wants revenge. He says that they are perfectly positioned to teach the people of this bloody town a lesson they won't forget.
Yes.
And
oh,
so
they could team up together
to
cause
like
such trouble.
She was not wanting vengeance, but she'd kind of given up on that whole idea. She was kind of done with it. But then that evil little Andre planted that seed. Like they were both well positioned to go after everybody together. And so, the scenes were just lovely.
I like the one part where Kate says, "What do you want, Andre?" And he leans into her and he says, "Companionship and partners in crime." But the look that she gave him back was when he says companionship, the look in his eye was like, "Yeah, that and a little bit more maybe." Like companionship meaning more than that, and it's just the way he looked. And then she gave him a look, and I'm there. They're playing that up to be like, "Yeah, we want more than companionship here," you know. And then he said, "Partner." And it's the way Teo said it. He said, "Oh, companionship," and then you know, just the way he said it and the way he looked at her is like he was undressing her, you know. Like, yeah, I want you more than just companionship. So, but they were just.
You know,
the whole idea of him saying that they could rule, more or less they could rule Salem if they teamed up, you know, and like really have a lot of fun with people.
And you know, those two actors had so much fun with that, just a blast.
Oh yeah, they love working together. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh, and I have to say, there was a cute little bit. Lauren posted a cute little Instagram video. I don't know if you got a chance to see it.
Uh-uh.
But it was real cute backstage. It was Brandon Beamer, Teo, Lauren, and Deidre. And they were like going over lines, but it was so funny. It was Brandon Beamer was doing something, and they had their scripts, and they were like they were fencing him and Teo with the papers. And then Brandon went up to him and tickled him. Oh, you should tell Teo is really ticklish.
Oh,
he's jumping. And the more he jumped, the more Brandon would go and, you know, start tickling him, and it was funny. And then he's like, stop it. It was funny.
Oh,
and then they got
hilarious.
Lauren and Deidre in on it, and they were talking. It was cute. And Lauren does that every so often. She'll post, like, little videos or little pictures from backstage.
So good.
Yeah, and it's always cute to watch that, like, the stuff that they do. They just look like they have too much fun at work.
Well, you know, they have a lot of pressure.
But a lot of pressure.
Stuff, I'm sure,
and a lot of pressure. They have to do like, I think last week there was like 5.5 shows in 4 days. They have to do like almost 6 shows in 4 days. It's like insane.
Wow.
I don't know. I honestly don't know how they come through it and learn all those lines like that. But they do.
Yeah.
I mean, it all comes off.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Well, so that was a good sum up of their scenes of the Kate scenes.
So
she had
really
a good day
enjoyed.
On
I don't,
Friday.
I don't even think Kate was even on the rest of the week, so I was like, whatever. But So yeah. So if somebody
I'm
else wants
to think,
to take
I don't
over
think
from
so.
Here and see. I mean,
yeah,
there are other things that
well,
happen in the episode, but that's.
Yeah, another storyline I'd like to discuss. Oh, go ahead, Angela.
I was just going to say, you know, it. Again, you know, Lauren is awesome, and I think Twitter, Instagram, and really showing a little bit of behind the scenes, whatever they can, is a part of their job now. Especially,
yeah.
you know, it's a part of the job
Seems
for
like
any
it.
Of the, these last four shows, but specifically days when they are so filming so far ahead, and we are trapped in, you know, we have, there are some stories that
Summer.
Have potential, I think, but then there are also some stories out there that
Summer
are just
isn't one of
DOA
them.
And have been DOA since, you know,
She's still on.
Since the beginning.
That's the storyline I want to talk about later. Yeah.
So, you know, to me, you know, watching, you know, seeing the things on Twitter or in Instagram, and I don't do Facebook anymore and haven't in several years, but I think, you know, I think it's a part of their job. And I think, yeah, and there are those that do a tremendous job with it. There's some that do it because they're forced to do it, and you know that there are people doing it for them. Yeah, there's all various combinations, but
and
you do
Lauren
have to hand
all
it to
her own. And
that's what I was getting ready to say. You have to really give some kudos to these folks that are really working hard and, you know, and are picking out things that they can present. And, you know, and of course there are people also being careful about making sure, you know, just like we, you know, none of us would have even had the expectation that James Reed was coming back. I'm thrilled that he is. I hope it's a better story than how we saw Clyde at the beginning, but I do think James Reed is an excellent actor. And we would never have known that had somebody not snapped a shot. And I don't really think it was intentional, or it was a sneaky way to get some information out there. One of the two, you know, to see
Sometimes
him on
they
the monitor.
I think a lot of it, like, they don't care if they put it
Who
out. They like to
this?
Get that stuff out.
Yeah. Well, I think they're. I think they can get in trouble for it, but at the same time, depending on what it is, probably, you know.
Yeah,
they,
yeah.
Depend something on whether they want something out or not, but
well, but the problem is,
yeah, there's
is that
some
they
things
have,
that they can really
the,
get in trouble
the,
if it gets out beforehand.
Yeah.
Well, and you don't
be careful.
They don't know because in a lot of instances, you know, as we all have been reading and hearing here and there, there's been a lot of cuts, so we may actually see something that never aired.
True.
You know. And that's a problem. But anyway,
well,
I think it's kudos to those that are doing it.
I mean, yeah, absolutely. And they're still fairly far ahead. Although they
well,
don't,
and
they
did you
three,
read the article?
Yeah, they're still 6 months ahead. Except with
the
Olympics
Glam
are coming
article?
Up. Hmm?
Article about what?
The article in Glamour magazine, interview with Ken Corday.
In what magazine?
Yeah, I did write
Glamour.
I did read some of it. Yeah, that's where the thing
Glamour.
Oh yes, Glamour magazine. That's where he kind of mentioned about Leanne coming.
I got you.
Yes,
I thought it was strange. Somebody sent me part of it, and I was like, "He did an interview with Glamour? Okay, that's interesting."
Well, they have done in the past. They've done when what were the two that I really disliked? That is almost as badly as Cena. Mardar. When Mardar came. Yeah, they stopped dealing with all the soap press altogether and went strictly to, you know, Entertainment Weekly, Glamour magazine. Glamour magazine did a spread of some sort. I can't
remember
now even what it was. This has been a couple of years ago, and I thought it was unusual then. And then to do this thing again, but they asked specifically. That was one of the questions that they asked was about the filming, and he really hedged the whole thing. He says, "Well, but you know, we really have to do this." And, yeah, we had intentions. Yeah. So, basically, he never owned up to that they were going to do anything differently than what they're doing. And so, which is no shocker here. But, I mean, it just, you know, it's just, it's really kind of frustrating. That part is really frustrating to me that we can't, I don't know. Like I said,
I think Days has gotten better. I think these last 2 weeks have gotten better. Especially with like the with Andre Kate and the whole thing I also been, and I wanted to talk about Tate, Brady, Teresa, Victor, Maggie.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The whole, that's kind of like interest. I mean, that I think Jen Lilly's doing an excellent job of, like the, with the mother that's panicked with the baby, and, you know, and then her and Brady on each other because the baby's missing. Steve made this the obvious comment that, that Summer and Victor are too obvious. Summer is saying, like, somebody gave her money to kidnap the baby, but it looked like we all thought she kidnapped her because there was a cry of a baby on the plane, but she said that she didn't do it, but she did take the money and was trying to get away, and that's why she was in disguise, because so this person wouldn't come after her, because she more or less double-crossed them, took the money, but didn't take the baby. So somebody else really did take the baby, and she's blaming Victor. Victor's saying, and all things point to Victor, because there's this company, and he took out $100,000, but he claims it's for the cruise for him and Maggie. And even Maggie has her doubts. He swears to Maggie that he didn't do it, but you could tell Maggie has her doubts. So, and Steve said, well, he thinks they're too obvious, that he thinks it could be somebody else. So, and I think we discussed this before, I think, that we think maybe it might be Kristen.
Mhm. It better be.
I don't know if anybody had seen those what's that?
I think it better be Kristen. There are very few baby switch stories I care to see, and frankly I don't know anything about the Summer story. I've completely ignored her. But again, it's not has to do with the actress. Actress I'm sure is great. Read good things about her when she was on As the World Turns. But
basically
this whole
that's
story
what they were
with
using
Summer
her for, like in this with this baby thing, or with Teresa.
Yeah.
But I thought some of the stuff there was really well done with Victor, and it's nice to see. Oh, and then Maggie and Brady were having this conversation, and Brady is afraid that Victor is going back to his old mean, mm-hmm. you know, the dark side again, and Maggie's afraid of that too. So I'm thinking we might even be seeing that with Victor. I don't know if he's involved with this or not. It seems too obvious, but I don't know. He still could be. You know, it could be another twist that he really is. But I thought that.
But I feel
you know,
like it's. Don't
of,
you think it's? I think it's kind of a handoff with Deimos. You know, I think Deimos is Victor 30 years ago.
Oh, Deimos claims he changed. He came back to talk to Victor. He's telling Nicole he's changed. He's telling Chloe he's changed. He wants Nicole back. Yeah. And now Chloe's kind of getting close to Philip, you know, and that kind of just like, oh, who cares? And then, like, the Sean and Belle, who cares? Because we know Belle's going to be leaving, and eventually Brandon Bean is going to be leaving, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, eventually,
well, honestly, that doesn't, you know, them sitting in the park, and I actually even have internet and a DVR. It's amazing to mm-hmm. have. Technology again. Anyway, I watched this mm-hmm. thing twice, and I thought, I don't know. I'm just saying, I'm not going to miss. Yeah, I was not. You know, I was definitely a Kirsten Storms, Jason Cook, Shell fan,
mm-hmm.
and I think you were too. Anyway, it's just very dull. It's just really dull. But I think that. I was glad to see Chloe because I haven't seen very much of her. And this episode Friday, actually, I don't know if you know, we need to grab onto it because we're talking about how good the dialogue was, all these great conversations mm-hmm. between Kate mm-hmm. and Deidre, mm-hmm. Kate, I can't even say anybody's name, Kate and Marlena and Andre mm-hmm. and Kate, Melissa Salmons. Was a script writer. And
yep.
so we need to enjoy these mm-hmm. episodes that we have left related
so
to that.
And I should left.
Well, I am too. And
yeah, because you
got to
remember
really
Higley's coming back now. You know what I mean? She's doing the stuff now.
But she's
I
not
think,
the
right?
script writer, though. Yeah. But she's
I know.
Script writer.
Yeah.
Samus was
like,
so good. Samus was so good at the romance and the
mm-hmm.
and the great dialogue,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she was magnificent.
Really,
I posted some things this past weekend, last couple of days, anyway, when I had a little bit of idle time waiting on people to arrive to do stuff. Anyway, part of what I was thinking, too, is that I found, and I think this was really disappointing from a Days of Our Lives management perspective, and I just wanted to say this, and I hope, and I did post it out on Twitter this week, that Melissa Sammons won a very prestigious award in February 2016, just a few months ago, from the Writers Guild East. And, I mean, she's an amazing person, not just a writer, but obviously she's been writing, you know, soaps with As the World Turns and Days. And even when they awarded her that, and it was so nice to hear about her career and how well respected she is in the writing community and all she has done. And, you know, could Days of Our Lives have posted something? You know, anything? How many people in their organizations get recognized like that? Very few. And to me, that's more serious than a star on the Hollywood Hall Walk of Fame. But anyway, at that point, probably more than likely she had already left or was getting ready to leave. So maybe that was a part of the reason. But anyway, if you get a chance, see that. It's only a few minutes, but it gives you some background about who she really is.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, an amazing person doing a lot of nonprofit things along with writing these shows. And, of course, now she's writing, I think, for Hallmark. She's doing some of the movies for Hallmark right now. And who knows what else? I know she travels a lot, but it was very insightful. And I think she was one. I think she and the Coultons, who were out. I know Anna. I know you like them too. And I'm not saying, as far as I know, the Coultons are still around. But Melissa Salmons is a huge loss for Days. And come October, there won't be any.
They always, when they get somebody good, they never can hang on. I don't know why they do that. They switch writers more than you know.
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with Hayden.
Why can't they keep a writer? You know, why can't they keep writers?
Yeah, Melissa Salmons. Yeah, Melissa Salmons was responsible, I think, for helping us. Again, this was Aiden point one, not the latest and greatest.
Well, they threw poor Aiden under the bus again. Brought him back to throw him under the bus again. Daniel Carsgrove.
And he is such a good actor. But what I was trying to say is that, you know, I think we were all very, I mean, I love Hope and Bo. I'm a huge fan. A lot of us are, you know, almost anybody is that's been watching
her
here.
A lot of people got into Hayden, though. Yeah.
She wrote some really good things, and I have the feeling that they didn't, and with some of her tweets, because people, you know, would interact with her, you know, on Twitter. And, you know, she was saying, oh, but there will still be things to appear. And they did. They did show some things. But, you know, you got the distinct impression, or maybe she had to say it the way she did, I don't know, that maybe they never told her what they were going to do. You know, and so she's still right, because, you know, she's in there writing 100%, you know, positively. And then it turns into, you know, a big fat mess. And again, it's not fair to Daniel Cosgrove. It's, you know, that's another thing I get upset about, because, like I said, it's just such a waste. And my last little bit here, and I'll hush up, is Dario. You know, again, Dario was a throwaway.
Dario.
Dario was a throwaway character from the day one. But this actor actually is good. I have seen him
good.
Do other things.
Yeah.
They have not used him at all.
No, they're not. He's pining after Nicole is about all he's doing right now, as he wants Nicole. And that's about all they're
him. It's kind of like the way they wasted Greg Vaughn in a lot of ways, too.
In a way,
That was atrocious. The thing with Greg Vaughn.
But then
this thing, but you can't bring these people on and not do anything.
Well,
do something really stupid.
The only thing so far that I'm grateful for is I thought Teo would come back, and every time he comes back, they just screw him. You know, don't give him anything to, you know, anything good. I have to say, it's been excellent. They're giving him, you know, good role. The storylines are good. He's involved in three or four storylines, so everything is really looking up for him.
We're lucky.
And
all
the
ones,
I don't know. Did anybody see the Rafe Dream? The episode with Rafe Dream where he was trying to.
I was warned in advance.
It wasn't a standalone episode, but it was all Rafe in the whole episode, because. thank goodness it wasn't a standalone, but he had all, everybody was in his dream, so, which made it really good.
Oh,
and,
mm-hmm.
And he did, I have to give him a little bit of, you know, yeah, he was okay.
Oh,
in it.
Come on, Mary Ann, you can do it.
Yeah, he was okay in it only because, Aiden was there and Andre was there and Eduardo was there and Adriana was, I mean, everybody was there. So, I mean, Kristen, yeah. So anyway, but it was good. So it was a good one.
Eduardo do something else besides be a figment of a race imagination. Martinez is a fabulous actor. I'm going to hush up because I'm just complaining.
But in the figment of his imagination or in his dream, he did an excellent job in talking to Rafe and telling him that he needed to shoot, you know.
Martinez has spoken out saying that they're not using him on the show and therefore he's probably not going to stay.
Well, yeah, they're not using him the way he should be used. And even the actress that plays the mother, Adriana, I like her, and I kind of like them two together. I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, it was the whole race, you know, having that he couldn't save Hope. And then the best part was, like, Andre and Aiden, they were taunting him, like, saying he didn't have the, you know, that he's the good guy.
Cool.
He always has to follow. He always has to play by the rules. And they were just like taunting him, you know, like, oh, you couldn't kill anybody. You had to do the right thing, you know. Or then he's a hypocrite. Oh, but it was so funny. They were so good.
Oh my gosh, I'm gonna have to watch that.
Eduardo more or less. Yeah, it's good. And then Eduardo came in and was telling him, you got to take care of these two. Why don't you know? You just take a gun and shoot them. You know. You know. He's just, you know. So finally, at the end, there was a point where Rafe did take the gun and shot Aiden and then shot Andre. I'm there, oh, no, they killed Andre again, you know, but it was only a dream. So it was very good. And then they had his mother come and talk to him, and then Gabby. We actually saw Gabby for a little bit. And actually, Bill Hayes was in there, and Doug was there.
He actually did
pretty good because he was – about his, you know, how could you let my girl die? And because, see, at this point, Rafe thought Hope had died. You know, in his dream, he thought that Hope had died, and he was feeling bad about that. But finally, he gets her, and they escape. And I like they went through the tunnels. We saw the Demir tunnels, and here, where that safe house was, he carried the Demir tunnels, and guess where the tunnel ended? Right through that little passageway that Andre had come through before, and there's Chad sitting in the Demir den, and so he came in and he helped get Hope back to the hospital, and of course she's okay, and like the bomb went off, but here there must have been a trap door. That's how they got off, because the bomb did go off just as they were going under the trap door, but Hope got hurt really bad. So Andre wasn't too happy about that.
Poor Rafe, they wrapped a bandage around his thigh, and yet he didn't really limp, he didn't really anything. He was just sort of legging along with that thing. Anyway,
we did get some emotion out of him, though, a little bit of emotion, you know. You know, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I'm thinking, but he was on the whole flipping episode. The whole hour, he was on the whole hour. So.
Yeah, and Martin Harris needs to be on there a lot more. And this gentleman, and I'm sorry I can't just think of his name, but it's playing Daria, they need to give him something really to do. Because he was really not just a top two character to meet with, you know, Nicole in the park. And it just kills me that they hire these people and then they don't use them. It really does.
I'm having a hard time. Are you having a hard time hearing Angela, or no? Is it just me?
Yeah, it's so muffled or something. Yeah,
it sounds her phone isn't as clear as it was before.
Is that any better?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Is that better?
Okay.
Yeah, it sounds better to me.
I have one of those Bluetooth things that are around your neck, and if I'm laying down or lounging, laying back too far, it'll muffle. Sorry.
Yeah, it kind of muffles and you couldn't understand. Okay. All right. That sounds better. And then the only other thing I wanted to discuss was the whole thing with Jennifer wanting to sue Chad for custody of Thomas, which is the biggest joke. Like, why does she feel Chad is unfit, or why Chad, I mean, Chad's doing fine. So I guess it's for the whole plot, I guess, of like trying to take Thomas from Chad. But then again, like, why would she even have a chance when she has an addiction problem? So I don't know. I just don't. And then they had Doug and Julie trying to convince, having Doug telling her that she should, you know, that, you know, she has to have, look out for the safety of Thomas. And I guess it's just because Chad is a Demira, and they think that Chad is just so grief stricken that he cannot take care of his son properly, which I think is kind of like
it's called filler.
A big joke.
It's called filler.
Filler,
okay,
and it's
really
called for the plot. Yeah, I mean, really,
what?
You know, that doesn't make sense. There's no reason that Chad's doing a capable job of being, you know, why would they want to give him to Jennifer? You know, that's his son. You know, if something happens to a mother and the son and the father's fairly capable, why would you, you know, I don't know. That says Wharton's, you know. That's, I guess they're just blaming him because he's a Demira.
We'll see. Things
I just don't like the way Jennifer and
that.
I don't like
the
way they're all acting. Yeah. So.
Well, the whole prospect of Jennifer running into the Demira mansion again and again, we've talked about this for years. You know, there is no security in that place. You know, she just runs in.
Yeah, she just runs in.
And I had to think about, okay, she came because, you know, Chad is there. Because I'm sitting there thinking, why in the world is, because I'm still in the mindset, I guess, why in the world would Jennifer go running into the Demira mansion just all of a sudden out of the blue sky? Because I still keep forgetting, you know, about the whole Chad thing with the baby and everything. But I'm sure that must have been why she was scurrying over there and discovered that hope was real. But I don't know. I think I want to bring on
One more caller before we have to go. I think it might. Hold on, it might be Bobby. Hello.
Yeah, it's me, Bobby.
Bobby.
Hey,
okay,
Bobby.
Hi, Bobby.
Hey, well, first of all, I saw the race thing up until Sierra and Sean was talking to Rafe about what happened. I mean, nobody didn't tell me anything about Gabby coming back. I mean, I know she's been busy on other projects and everything, and.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand what Camille had been up to lately, and we haven't seen much of her or Ariana. So that's the only, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen when Camille is done with Mistress. I think that's the show she's on ABC. Maybe somebody can help me on that in there.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I don't know.
She is.
And yeah. She hasn't been on for a while. She was just on for a little
bit with
Ray Stream.
Because I know that... I know that there's a certain actress on another daytime soap that's doing the same thing this year with in primetime after guest starring on a certain another primetime show. So I think maybe I don't know how that's going to work out. I don't know how the situation will be for Mistress, if it's going to get renewed and if Camille's going to elect to leave the show or not. But I didn't get a chance. But in all seriousness, I think they should just stop with the one person shows and everything. I mean they're interesting, but they're going to end up like Guiding Light was 10 years ago, and the ratings are going to go downhill, and it's going to get canceled within 3 years if they keep this up. We saw what happened with Guiding Light, and it was canceled within 3 years after they done the standalone episodes. And make matters worse.
I kind of enjoy them every once in a while. You don't want to do them all the time, but I think every once in a while, I think.
Right.
And Daniel Cosgrove was really good.
Yeah, but I think with the situation with Guiding Light is they did it every week. With Days, it's every other week or every month. And I'm thinking it's going to go the same way as Guiding Light. I mean, the situation with Guiding Light, in addition to that...
Other reasons why Guiding Light was canceled, that wasn't the only reason.
But they
switched locations for the last 2 years of Guiding Light from New York to New Jersey. And we saw what happened with All My Children when they moved from from New York to Los Angeles, and I'm not too sure.
That's why I'm saying it's kind of
going,
a different thing. I think what they're doing with the standalone things is trying to increase the chances for, you know, awards or whatever or some, you know. But some of them
and
have
Galen has a chance. Galen has a chance.
Yeah.
Galen has a chance, I admit. But if you want to do a real standalone episode, how about with Sierra? Because her life didn't screw up in the last year. How about her? How about Teresa? Because
Sierra
really is desperate to... How about Teresa? Because Jen Lilly is desperate to just try to do anything, and she's doing a great job now. But what about Teresa next, or at least give her at least a chance for some sort of award? Because she and Marie Wilson was great
together.
Yeah,
I bet we'll see that. I think we'll see that before she leaves.
Jen Lilly,
I think when does she stop airing in October? They'll have some focus on her. I think I personally, if I knew there was going to be an all day Sierra episode, I'm afraid I wouldn't.
She's not our biggest fan.
I don't know if you'd rather prefer to see Sierra Brady for an hour or listen to. Russell Wilson's wife, Sierra, on the radio for all day. I mean, if I have a choice, I'd prefer to listen to Sierra, the singer, not Sierra Brady.
Right.
Even though we never know if Vivian might have a singing voice, because look at Claire. But it would be great to just see a Teresa standalone episode. And speaking of Gabby, it would be great for her to come back into the mix. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
When the season ends for her other show, or if it's coming back next year, but it would be great to just see what happens, because I think Camille needs some good storylines. I mean, and there's one thing I didn't get from Monday's episode of the situation with Blanca's secret. I mean, what was that about? She made a phone call to. Yeah, she's making a phone call to some friend in Spanish, which, one, I just...
Blanca, there's some guy, I don't know if it's an old boyfriend or something, there's something in her path. Yeah.
Right.
I forgot about her. Yeah.
Right. If this is going to be, like, where maybe he was abusive or something like this, I'm sure, because I know the actress that plays her is back on Spanish soap opera television, so it would be hard to get her back on Days, because... we're getting into a similar situation to what we have with Camille right now, with Mistress and Days. So it would be hard to just get her off of Telemundo and back onto Days at the same time, like what we've seen with Camille right now. So it would be very interesting to see how that plays out and how long she's going to stay besides the limited run that she got right now.
Well, I guess we'll see. Like I said, I think... They hyped a lot of, you know, the Hernandezes becoming a real central family on the show. That has not come to fruition. You know, I am not a Ray fan, so I really didn't care. I was upset that they gave Maggie's kitchen away to the Hernandez family. That said, you know, all of a sudden she and Victor are sitting over there in the little in that little tiny condo. But again, it gets back to, because they continue to change regimes, and I pray that there will be yet another change in regime coming.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's true or not, but if in fact there is, you know, they need to get back down to the core people again, and then start to build some of these other things. Because you get all these ancillary people sitting out there, and you never give them a story, and they're just kind of in there as, I call it filler, And it really never goes anywhere, and you're waiting for something to happen that never comes to fruition. And so at this point, especially during this transition, which obviously it's not a transition for them because they're 6 months ahead, but I hope that they are going to look to – somebody is looking at that as, you know, at a high level at Days, because they've got – think about how many people we've talked about, at least six people tonight, six characters – that really don't have a significant story. They're just kind of out there.
Right.
And if with the show like it is, they need to figure that out. If it's Dina's going to be responsible for doing that, good luck to us all, because like I said, I just don't have the faith anymore with Dina. But I there's always a chance that they'll change something, and I'm hopeful that there are some things going on behind the scenes that are going to help us with that. But honest to goodness, that you're right. Like I said, we've got all these people. Camilla, they brought Camilla back. She left the show. They brought her back with much fanfare, and you know, we haven't seen. And I think she and JJ are a cute couple.
Right,
I
agree.
That's the story.
I agree, and
yeah, they're not
great.
Doing much with JJ anymore either. They haven't done much with him, so.
Right, it would be great if you can just get another minority family on television, because we've seen on YNR an African American family. We've seen on Bowling Beautiful right now an African American family, and we have seen what the Days are doing right now with a Hispanic family. It would be great to get more storylines with
Amanda. They put a casting call out this week for a African American character that's supposed to have. I think initially it's not a contract, but it's a recurring, but it could potentially could go to contract. If they got somebody like a Sean Blakemore, who was on General Hospital, I don't know if you're familiar with him. I really liked him. Somebody like that, who really has got some chops, and I think really has a presence on the show, you know.
Now you say after. Now, you say the actor. I was thinking the first name that would come to my head would be Victoria Rawl after she settled the lawsuit with CBS.
I can't imagine that any Sony association whatsoever will ever bring Victoria Rawl back.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm not saying that she's not talented. I think she is. But Dave has enough to deal with right now. And I think in terms of a risk assessment, that would be pretty dicey.
And
I think she wants to, but wants to come back. I don't blame her. And she does. Like I said, she's a great actress. She had a great primetime career. She's done a lot of great things.
Right.
But unfortunately she's just kind of gotten a bad reputation for not necessarily personally, but just from a work perspective.
And I wanted
to see it.
Yeah, and I wanted to say also congratulations on their 13,000 show. It's unfortunate we won't see the evidence until January, but hopefully, with a new year, new Ryan crew and everything, they can just stop. They can just give them breaks every 2 weeks so they can at least catch up. I mean, the Olympic break is good, but if you can just catch up and just do shows 6 weeks in advance and 6 months in advance like everybody else, that will help too. And hopefully, maybe in January, this will help. Once everything is taken care of with this phase.
Well, I hope so. I hope so. I was really disappointed that they didn't, that they haven't stopped before now.
Right. I just want to say, if you're looking for a great, I looked at the Tuesdays, beginning of days, and I thought for 2 minutes, Teresa and Summer was going to go at it. It went to the point where I told Jen and Marie on Twitter, save the cat fighting for the daytime Emmys for your supporting actress nominee. Because I tell you, they both need to get nominated for a supporting actress. And I think Jen needs to just definitely win it this year because there's a lot of competition out there in the supporting actress and lead actress, but I don't see Jen being that much of a lead actress that much. I mean, I may be wrong.
Yeah, it should be more supporting.
Right. And the only person that Jen Lilly would come close to that may remind me a little bit is Bowling Beautiful's Jacqueline McKinnon Woods, who plays Seppi. And she might be the only other person that might challenge her for that daytime Emmy if it's not Marie Wilson or Melissa Ree or somebody else from Days in the Supporting Actress. Because that's something that I think Jen might look at later on when she put in her tapes, even if there is a standalone Teresa episode before she leaves coming up. She definitely needs to put that material ready. And I just want to just say in advance, just in case she does get nominated or decide to come back.
Well, I think she will get. I bet she'll get a nomination before she leaves. And but I think she's had some episodes. Usually, comedy scenes don't necessarily win, but.
Right.
That episode, and this was ages ago, but when she lost the wedding engagement ring, and she was looking for it on the ground. She was running around looking for
but
the
ring. She's
done
some good dramatic stuff, too, so.
Yeah.
I mean, she's really versatile.
Yeah, Bess Jen's crap, because in 2012, when she was Maxie on GH with Robin Steph, that could have been her Emmy nomination right there. 2013, when she was on Overdose and everybody had that intervention with Teresa, that could have been her nomination right there. And the last few years, she could have been nominated for supporting actress or anything like that. And I think this is the best year right now. If Days is willing enough to release a standalone episode for Jen before the end of before she leaves in October or November, that'd be just fine. But nevertheless, this would be a good idea for her to definitely just come away with a daytime Emmy. I mean, I was a little disappointed with Cassie not winning hers, but I give credit where credit is due. Mary Beth did deserve it because she had Emmy the two nights before. So that was pretty much a win-win story right there for the lead actress of Days. So
Mary Beth had been on Days nearly 30 years.
Yeah, it's about time for us to go. So anything else about this week that we want to talk about?
I haven't seen Friday's episode. It's
actually past our time.
I haven't seen Friday's episode yet, but I'm going to watch it tomorrow. But I'll definitely will get back in touch with you all next week if anything interesting happens.
Yeah.
So
okay.
You have a good night.
Sounds good.
Yeah, because Anna has to go too.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Thanks.
Bye,
again,
thanks, Bobby.
Everybody.
Bye.
Thanks, Angela. Thanks, Anna.
Okay, bye,
bye-bye.
Guys.
Bye.
Bye.